Good evening, it's 7 o'clock. We'll call the meeting to order, Mrs. Clark.
This regular meeting of the mayor and council of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times, by posting it in the Borough Hall on the bulletin board reserved for such announcements, and by filing it with the municipal clerk on January 2nd, 2024. This agenda is complete to the extent known, and formal action will be taken.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Colasano.
Here.
Mr. Crowley.
Here.
Mrs. Cusick.
Here.
Mr. Dougherty.
Here.
Ms. Forbes.
Here.
Mr. Murphy.
Here.
Mayor Hovenleitner.
Here. Please stand for a moment of silent reflection, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Happy Pi Day, folks. I'm going to have some pie later. May I have a motion and a second to approve the February 22nd, 2024 regular meeting minutes?
Crowley moves.
Four seconds.
Either one.
Gracia.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Colasano.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Forbes.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
The minutes are approved.
And I hope now I got the Duffy's a date night. Now we do our business of the month. This month, befitting Women's History Month, we are honoring women-owned business, Bungalow Road. This is a business I frequent often. We were just joking about how many articles of clothing, even just today, I'm wearing. And I've done a costume change once. Whether it's browsing for clothes for myself or a gift for someone else. I love that the stuff is made up, the staff is mostly made up of family and close friends. And it definitely feels like a family business when you walk in. This coming November is going to be Bungalow's 10th anniversary in Atlantic Highlands, which is awesome.
Wow.
We've got another big anniversary coming on First Avenue for Sherman Jewelers in the summertime. But the first Atlantic Highlands location was located on Center Avenue, and they opened on November 3rd, 2014. It was a tiny little place. I remember at the holiday, the finding holiday ornaments to give as gifts, because that's my tradition. I found so many good ones there, but I was scared I was going to knock over the tree. Then they moved to a larger space at 78 First Avenue in February of 2016, and they took a little while to move into their brand new space at 60 First Avenue in this past February, last year. For me, it's been wonderful to see them grow as a business in the Atlantic Highlands over the years, and talking to Bridget, I know that they appreciate the community support over the years. I was actually surprised to hear how nervous and excited they were to open this store, and they were unsure how people would embrace it in Atlantic Highlands, and boy, did we. Then they survived the pandemic because of the loyal customers, and they really believe in the future of Atlantic Highlands and have enjoyed watching it grow and thrive over the years. I have witnessed personally their endless generosity to community organizations in town, as well as all over Monmouth County. Their annual holiday shopping night in partnership with the Atlantic Highlands Elementary School PTO is legendary. I've gone during the day so as to avoid the crowds. But thank you, ladies, for making a difference in our community. I look forward to celebrating your anniversary with you. So come on up, Bridget. Today, Bridget told me that her partners weren't going to be able to come to some of the wrong college visits.
I'll just thank you guys so much. We're so happy to be here. Like Lori said, I'm kind of nervous branching out, opening the store up here. I grew up in a little town down the road, but coming back down this way from Hoboken with my husband, it was nerve-wracking to, you know, even though having kids and family, it's over the store and feel embrace and everyone in here, I feel like I recognize so many people that shop here that testament to the town, not just the store. So thank you so much.
Okay. And now something special for Irish Heritage, American Heritage Month. And I think I'm going to get a surprise. I hope I'm going to get a surprise.
Maybe later.
Maybe later. Cool.
Maybe later.
There's bagpipers at Carton, by the way.
Exactly.
Council President Dougherty, will you do the honors?
I would be happy to. Thank you, Mayor. A proclamation of the Mayor and Council of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands declaring Irish American Heritage Month 2024. Whereas Irish American Heritage Month began in 1991 with a presidential proclamation calling upon the people of the United States to a month-long celebration of the contributions that Irish immigrants have made to the U.S. And whereas the United States and many nations of the world celebrate St. Patrick's Day annually on March 17th in honor of the patron saint of Ireland. And whereas many Irish immigrants came to this land before this nation was founded, with the largest wave seeking refuge on our shores in the 1840s when the Great Famine ravaged Ireland. And whereas across the country, these immigrants faced calloused discrimination, no Irish need apply signs were ugly reminders of the prejudice that disfigured American society at that time. And whereas in spite of these persecutions, Irish Americans fought valiantly in the Civil War and other conflicts to protect the freedom of all Americans and to contribute to the success of this country. And whereas in 2021, 31.5 million individuals in the United States, about 9.5% of the population, claim to be of Irish descent. And whereas Irish immigrants and their descendants have contributed greatly to the enrichment of all aspects of life in the United States, including military and governmental service, science, education, art, agriculture, business, industry, and athletics, including 9 of the people who signed our Declaration of Independence, 23 presidents of the United States, musician Jim Morrison, painter Georgia O'Keeffe, Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, and author Tom Clancy. And whereas we honor the long history of the Irish and Irish Americans' contribution to this nation, and we recognize those Irish and Irish Americans who currently contribute daily to the strength and vibrancy of our diverse community. Now, therefore, the Mayor and Council of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey, does hereby proclaim March 2024 as Irish American Heritage Month in the Borough of Atlantic Highlands and encourages all residents to join in the observance with celebration, friendship, and understanding with our Irish and Irish American neighbors.
Sunshine.
Thank you.
Erin Gobarach, Ireland Forever.
How many of us up here were, how many of us are here have Irish heritage? A lot of us, yeah, I think. The vast majority of the room, so it's fun. Okay, we have unfinished business tonight. Let's move to Ordinance 7, 2024, amending development plan checklist. Seven? Yeah. Public hearing and possible adoption. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the ordinance?
I'll move that.
Crowley seconds.
Okay, thank you. Council President Dockerzy, would you like to say a few words about the changes?
Very specifically, thank you, Mayor. First of all, this ordinance was reviewed by the Planning Board at the March 7th meeting. It was deemed unanimously compliant with the master plan. It essentially codifies 2 items that the Planning Board usually asks for anyway. So it makes these items, such as geotechnical review in the steep slope zone, and also parking studies, parking and traffic studies within certain types of applications. It makes the specifically the traffic study comply with our expert witness ordinance in terms of numbers of observances and hours of observing traffic. So essentially it's bringing some things we usually ask for and codifying them and making them requirements.
Thank you.
Please pass our thanks to you, the rest of the Planning Board, Mr. Stipe, and all the members of the Planning Board for getting that done. Doug, I'm sure you played a role in that too. So thank you. It's nice to have that on there with a nice clean checklist.
Thanks for the shout out there, John. I appreciate it.
Okay. Just affirming process here. So I need a motion and a second to open public comment.
Crowley.
Duncan. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this? Please come forward, state your name. Mr. Fisher, please start. State your name and address. If you are planning to comment and you're on Zoom, please raise your virtual hand and Mr. Romeyer will recognize you.
Just going through the checklist, there are no page numbers.
There will be.
There will be, okay. So in section A, first line, 18 paper copies. I think that's ridiculous. Why can't you do things electronically? Usually at meetings, there's at least 8 or 9 copies unfolded on the desk, and that's all you hear during the meetings is rustling paper. And if you ever listen to the recordings, guess where the blueprints sit on? Right on top of the microphones. So it beats you up pretty good. I would highly suggest that we go paperless. And that's in 2 different sections. In section C, survey, the last council meeting we discussed 5 years surveys. And the attorney stated that technically 10 years is a good survey. So couldn't we change this now? It's a de minimis change. It's a number change. Insert 10 instead of 5.
So since that conversation last month, Mr. Fisher, I looked into it and in fact, sought some advice from Mr. Stein on that. 5 years is a fairly common set or requirement for surveys. Surveys are a moment in time. It's a capture of a moment in time. And Mr. Stein had said, while some communities do allow surveys that are 10 years older, or some require 1 or 2 year surveys. So it's a bit of a compromise, the 5 years, it has served us well in this community the way, with our topography, et cetera. So I think we should leave it alone. No, but sheds appear and
I'm looking at a perspective from cost to the application. I mean, if you do multiple changes on a house, you're up one house,
right?
And you have to get a survey basically every time you do it. It's expensive. It's probably $1,000 to do it with a survey. So just consider it, please. But I think 10 years makes more sense to the public in general.
Okay.
In section, where are we? Section E. Applications within the steep slope zone, R3, must include site-specific coring based on geotechnical analysis and stability calculations. Are there steep slope zones in R1 and R2 zones? Not just R3. And why would they only specify in R3?
The steep slope zone is defined in our code by a listing of block and lot. The reference to the R3 zone is another way to describe it. It could be redundant, but it's really the steep slope zone is defined by block and lot primarily.
So one of the most recent applicants we heard last month was the R1, but they had steep slope issues on their property. I don't remember hearing the conversation, so that's why I flagged R3 versus R1. So the R3 really doesn't matter in this paragraph, is that what you're saying? I mean, should it be in there?
I think just the reference to steep slope zone would be probably better,
okay,
because it specifically references lot
right,
and not a zone boundary. In the future, if there's any modification to zoning district, but
sure,
not the steep slope list, there could be conflicts. So
certainly. So I would defer to Ms. That's a de minimis change. So we could strike.
Yes, because we're not substantively changing what requires this adjustment.
I have absolutely no issue with striking the R3 reference if others don't.
In section F, I agree with Councilman Crowley. This is all the parking and traffic specifics that were put in here finally make sense. There's always questions. with that. And then in section S, just this is more of a question than a suggestion. We require the DEP to basically sign off on areas around wetlands. In this town, we have a lot of properties that have had environmental issues, you know, fuel tanks in the ground, larger lots like Ben Holstead had cleanups, the creek, that type of thing. Should there be a similar type of a letter from the DEP saying that if you want to build here, this property is good to go? I mean, if the property's been cleaned up, it has an LSFRP usually in charge of it, but I don't know whether they're authorized to say the property is clean or if it has, it should come from the DEP. There are a lot of properties in this town that have to go through the cleanup process.
I'm pretty sure that the LSRP has to submit their final findings to the DEP for approval.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's how it works. So in other words, the DEP is going to check and make sure that the LSRP actually cleaned up the property the way they say they did.
Right.
Is that your question?
But my point is we go through very detailed requirements. For instance, we have to have a letter from the water collection person to make sure the bill is paid. So that's how deep we dive into is this property eligible to be built up. It seems to me that a much larger problem that's been rectified should have a paper trail to say, yes, this property is good, there's no issues.
You know, and I think with all the resolutions in the conditions of approval, it always says that the applicant must obtain approvals from all other interested agencies and departments in the state. So it always says that in the end.
So
they can't skirt that obligation.
It's technically included by default, so somebody would have that piece of paper.
All outside agency approval has been obtained. And it's on, the onus is on the applicant themselves. It's not on the planning board or the borough to identify everything.
Okay.
These are specific ones that the borough and most boroughs typically want to see. They're, you know, the list is endless on the types of outside jurisdiction that you could encounter. But I agree with the solicitor that it is an obligation under municipal land use law, whether we say it or not.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Fisher.
Anybody? Any hands?
No hands raised at this point. There's 5 attendees.
Any other public comment in the room? Okay. I'm going to ask for a new motion to adopt as amended.
I'll make that motion, and specifically, we are striking the reference on Section E, Buildings and Structures, number 7. It says, currently, applications within the steep slope zone, parens, R3. We're striking R3 from that reference. So I'll make that motion with that amendment.
2 seconds.
Okay, and is there any further discussion from the council? Mrs. Clark, can we do a roll call, please?
Mr. Palacerda.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Forbes.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Ordinance 7-2024 has passed.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. There's no workshop, so let's move on to public comment on consent and regular agenda items. Members of the public who would like to make a comment on consent agenda only may raise your hand here. Consent agenda and regular agenda items. May raise your hand here in the courtroom, and once recognized, please come to the front of the room and state your name and address. If a member of the public is joining via Zoom, please raise your virtual hand, and once recognized, state your name and address. Mr. Cross, please come forward.
James Cross, 77 Baseline Drive, and also chair of the Rick Lovell Board. I have some comments tonight on Resolution 61, so that I cover everything that I wanted to say and bring something from the reading. As I'm sure the council members know, the Rent Loveland Board has been operating only 4 members Unfortunately, this has not hampered our decision-making process to date. We have not had any decisions stalemated by a 2-2 vote. But we should not count on that to continue. We need to have a full complement of 5 members. The mayor has requested that you appoint Jose Pujols as the 5th member of the board, filling the 2nd of 2 positions required to be occupied by persons who are either a landlord or a tenant. I met Mr. Pujols recently. Due to his professional life, he already has a significant background in multifamily housing. In addition, he appears to be ready, willing, and able to serve. I think the mayor has made a wise choice. There's one other factor that you should be aware of due to the ongoing residency imposition. Mr. Pujols suffered the indignity of receiving a subpoena challenging his residency in the province. However, after Mr. Pujols' papers were reviewed by the Grand Inquisitor, the Grand Inquisitor, also known as Councilman Murphy's attorney, concluded that Mr. Pujols was, or should I say is, a bona fide resident of the Atlantic Islands. The Grand Inquisitor then excused Mr. Pujols from the further dignity of being interrogated on the extent. Why am I relaying this? Council members and the public are probably aware that Mr. Pujols was on the list of voters whose residency was challenged. However, they might not know that his residency has now been authenticated by the same party, perhaps unintended, by the same party that originally challenged him. So the recommendation of the mayor and the chair of the Met Butler Board in the assurance that Jose Pujols is a genuine resident. I urge you to unanimously pass Resolution 61-2024 and appoint Mr. Pujols to a 3-year term.
Thank you, Mr. Krause. Anybody else in the courtroom? Mr. Fisher, please come forward. Mr. Romeyer, any hands?
No hands.
Thank you.
Mark Fisher, I'm sure we have just a quick question. Ordinance 8, I know the public isn't privy to the written document of the lending parking document, but could we just have a quick description on what's going to change?
Yes, so I think the best person to do that, who was supposed to be here, was Chief Reiner, who might be in the hallway, and he knows that there may be questions asked tonight about it, so I'm not going to be surprising him by asking. Mr. Phillips, can you ask him to come in? The chief is intimately involved in this process, and he might be the best to articulate a summation of it.
Knowing that there'll be public comments on this at the 2nd reading.
Okay.
Chief Reiner, if you could provide just a very brief synopsis of Ordinance 8, the amending parking introduction, in terms of what is being amended.
Yeah, so we did the permit parking on the west.
The mic.
Microphone.
Scott Reiner, 100 First Avenue.
Have to address that. Sorry.
So we did the permit parking on the West Avenue lot. While doing that, we realized that there was 2-hour parking any time signage there, which we realized was an issue. So we decided to do the 2-hour parking just like First Avenue. And if you have a permit for parking, you can stay there, you know, all day and all night. So just like 6-hour lot, it'll be indicated in the ordinance the same exact way. Subsection saying, you know, if you have a permit, you're still good. You know, 2-hour to apply. So, about the 2-hour was the best. You have 6 already for people that want to go to the park and stuff like that. So,
that's great. Thank you to your department for noticing that there were empty spots overnight and that some of our permit folks were having a hard time finding a spot overnight. So, thank you for that.
No problem.
Thanks, Chief.
Any other comment on consent or regular agenda items? Anybody online? Okay. Moving on. Sorry. Oh no, because we're gonna do the consent agenda first.
Oh.
We're taking comment. Yes. Okay. So So now we're on to consent agenda. These items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. Resolution 61, 2024, appointments, boards, commissions, committees. Resolution 62, 2024, payment of bills, $1,080,157.18. Resolution 64, 2024, authorizing emergency operation plan. And Resolution 65, 2024, appointing Michael Kucharski, DPW, vehicle maintenance. We have a motion and a second.
Mark.
Fernelli.
Roll call, please.
Is there one missing that we added at the end?
I have four on my agenda.
The operations plan?
66, yes.
60. That's 64. 64.
41. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We're good?
Yeah. Okay. Roll call, please.
Mr. Palacero.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Forbes.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Items on the consent agenda have passed.
Great. Thank you. And now we're going to have the introduction for Ordinance 8, 2024, amended parking. May I have a motion and a second?
Murphy moves it.
Palacero seconds.
Great. Roll call, please.
Mr. Palacero.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Forbes?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ordinance 8, 2024 has been properly introduced. Public hearing and possible adoption on March 28th.
Thank you, and thank you again, Chief. Now we're moving on to administrators' reports and professionals. I will go from my left to my right. Mr. Ferragina.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. Just a few items here. On March 1st, I attended the CDBG reorganization meeting held by the Monmouth County Division of Planning, Office of Community Development. On March 6th, I attended a community policing grants workshop held by Congressman Frank Pallone's office. On March 7th, I attended the Monmouth County Improvement Authority Financing Seminar held in Colts Neck. On March 12th, I attended the annual State of the County Address held in Freehold by the Monmouth County Commissioners. The police chief joined me at that meeting. Earlier today, I attended the Monmouth JIF Executive Committee meeting. JIF is the Joint Insurance Fund. That's it for meetings. In addition to that, and this may be reported by one of the council members tonight, I'm happy to report that the borough received the maximum award amount of $75,000 from the ARP firefighter grant towards the purchase of the SCBA air bottles, which was at the fire department's request. So they got exactly what they asked for in the maximum amount. So congratulations to our grant writing firm, the borough, and the fire department. And that's all I have this evening, Mayor.
Our attorney's report, or our solicitor's report, was so elegantly put before Ms. Fitzpatrick. Also quite elegantly done. Mr. Rohmeyer.
Thank you very much. So with regards to South Avenue Park, we have confirmed that the equipment has been received by the contractor. We have a site meeting with them next week, and we will identify a start date at that point, hopefully. Again, as reported last meeting, they're anticipating a three-week build period. So hopefully we'll have that facility open for the spring. CDBG restroom building, we had a pre-construction conference recently. Shop drawings have come in for the building itself. We're reviewing the shops. We're going to review it with the borough's construction department as well. And then once that approval it has been granted for the shop itself, it can go into production. So with approximately a three-month lead time for the structure, there's site work that could be done while the building is being constructed off-site. With regards to East Garfield and Grand, contractor is preparing to remobilize to Mill and Overlay. That's the one block on East Garfield and Grand, full length pretty much north of Route 36 from the joint of the new pavement limit. I will get some information to the borough to put on the website ahead of time so we can get some warning and notice to the residents and make sure traffic controls in place. So that would be basically concluding that project. And again, working with the borough officials for the next road program to implement one DOT grant that we have in place at this point for Avenue B and Hill. That's it tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Before the police chief goes wandering again, I just wanted to congratulate him on his 2-year anniversary in his current position as of March 1st. You do an outstanding job for us, Chief, and I am just really grateful for your service. I'll have other things to say later, but in case you've got out on a call. Okay, so Councilwoman Cusick.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Mayor. I'm giving the police report, and Chief Reinert has submitted an application, a grant application, for the requirements to meet the body armor for all law enforcement people. This is an expensive endeavor to keep up with it, and he's concerned about whether it's going to, the grant is still going to be available in another 5 years. May is Bike Safety Month, and a couple of things are going on with the police department in terms of bike safety, including our officers will be handing out reflective belts for anyone who's walking or biking or running and doesn't have anything that's reflective or light, so it's a safety measure there. And in addition to that, the Atlantic Highlands Police Department will be conducting, again, the Learn to Ride bike safety program down at Mother Teresa School. I want to give out congratulations to Sergeant Fair, who has been named as a team leader in the Monmouth County Rapid Deployment Force. This is in addition to his regular duties here at the police department. So congratulations to him. He was selected by a small group of other police chiefs too, because of his fine behavior and demeanor. Police report also includes that we were 1,447 responses in the month of February, 34 of which were first aid or fire, 8 were motor vehicle crashes. I have to remember to say crashes and not accidents. And 270 traffic stops, including 82 non-parking summonses and 63 parking summonses. And also, lastly, sad, 3 DWIs, driving while intoxicated. Under Veteran Affairs, we met on March 5th. We discussed the Vietnam War Veterans Day will be held on March 29th. It's a relatively new memorial that was designated a few years ago, and we'll have a proclamation to share with all of you concerning Vietnam veterans, war veterans. Okay. We are also doing the Kiat, continuing to be involved with the killed in action, and we've gotten some more information from the Assistant Commissioner of Veterans and Military Affairs. We're hoping to be able to set up the QR codes on the memorial over on across the street. QR codes giving those actual biographies of the individual persons who were killed in action. OEM, we continue to do a great deal of different trainings and drills with the volunteers for the Office of Emergency Management. And as mentioned in one of the resolutions today, we did submit and have been approved the emergency operation plan. That's every 2 years that has to do. I want to just make a point that Sarah Weimer has really knocked herself out in getting that done. It's a very, very involved program to go through. You're talking a plan that's about this big. She's really done a great deal of work, as well as other members of the OEM. Otherwise, senior citizens, I have no report. Thank you very much.
You have one other thing to report on.
Oh, I am reporting. We did develop a committee for the mayor's wellness campaign, and there's 5 or 6 people on the committee, and we'll probably be looking for some more. We have looked very extensively at some of the data, but there's more data that needs to be addressed. And we realized, as we were discussing, this was last night, we had this meeting last night, There's a tremendous amount of things that Atlantic Highlands should be proud of that we do to make our citizens healthier and improve the whole atmosphere of the community. So more to be heard.
Thank you. Okay.
Which way are you going?
I'm going that way because I want to be the one that gets to congratulate you from the dais on your new position, but I'm going to ask you to tell everybody about it before you start your report. So congratulations to Councilman Crowley on his yesterday swearing in and election as the executive director of the New Jersey Film and Television Commission.
That's it.
But I was a little worried someone else would say it first, so.
Wait, before you go on, Ms. Crowley, would you like me to read the actual press,
paragraph
of the press
great.
Release?
Oh, my God.
All right, so this was issued.
We're proud of you.
New Jersey Motion Picture and Television Commission announces John Crowley as new executive director. Newark, New Jersey. The New Jersey Motion Picture and Television Commission, the NJMPTVC, very large acronym.
I see
there.
More swag coming my way.
part of the New Jersey Economic Development Authority, which is also the NJEDA, today announced the hiring of John Crowley as its new executive director. In this role, Crowley will serve as the senior leader of all of New Jersey's film initiatives, leading both the NJEDA's film sector development work as well as the management of the NJMPTVC. Congratulations, John.
Thank you.
Congrats,
John. Thank you.
Now your regular report.
Now my regular report. I will just add that this was harder to get than door knocking for an office on this council. It was a long process, but in the process, 12 interviews over 4 months, but in the process met some amazing people from our state government. So I'm very, very, very excited about this. I think New Jersey is poised for some incredible business and job creation. And one of the things we talked about yesterday, I can talk about it, is doing some workshops to train local people that don't have a path forward into film, and they're looking for how do I get in, of being able to have these sort of boot camps and workshops to train them how to be film ready to go to work on a set. So that's, at the end of the day, it's going to be great for that. So thank you. I appreciate it. Recreation, I will just, I'm going to leave most of that for Councilman Dougherty. I'm just going to say that we were talking, Mayor and I, earlier today, music festival and food truck festival, you know, that's on tap for August, so it's going to be great. Been talking about with a lot of truck owners, we're looking at probably 15 to 20 trucks, more vendors this year, which will be a lot of fun, and we'll have 4 great bands and lots of fun stuff. So look for that online. I've also talked with Ms. Morgan Spicer about doing some artwork, and we'll get some poster artwork out there again from Park Point Studios. DPW, Councilman Murphy's going to handle most of that. I'm just going to say that the compactor was out for a little while, but the gang did a great job. I went down there about a week ago, and they had one of our trash trucks and somebody that was operating it, so there was no lag in being able to process our recycled paper goods. Our police department's already done first aid squad in February, 24 calls. So far here in the month of March, we've got 10 calls that we've answered. Year to date, already 63 calls from our first aid squad. Last week, some of you might have heard that there was a helicopter landing at Fireman's Field. There was a pedestrian, I guess he was on a scooter. There was a collision with a car. Mr. Huveny, our chief, quickly reacted, called in medevac. They were able to get, and the person appeared to be critically injured, and miraculously, they got him to the hospital pretty quickly, walked out of the hospital the very next day under his own power. So I think that's a testimony to quick action from our police, who are there to help, and also our first aid squad. And the last thing I will say is that tomorrow, very exciting, we've been talking about this for 4 years, tomorrow, nothing moves quickly in government, but we're getting probably over $80,000 worth of fiber optics for free, delivered right here, and I don't mean in a pile in a box, but like they're bringing it in out of the ground, and coming right up to City Hall, and that will be the first step in being able to get our own public access channel. And I've already talked with our television and film instructor up at Hudson, Mike Boylan, about making this as a destination for all of the student created work, all their content, being able to put that up so that anybody at home can watch it. If you don't have Wi-Fi connection, you'll be able to watch it that way. And then any of you that want to get up and eventually do public content creation, that'll be an output for you too. So in terms of the job creation that I talked about a moment ago, that's another output for content for everybody. So it's very exciting. That is it, Mayor.
Thank you.
Councilman, will you take a question? In your new position, can you get some interesting co-stars to come and star on our public access channel?
Let's just say,
let's see.
Today I already had to go get fitted for a tux.
Oh.
So,
ooh la la.
There's going to be a lot of good connections. Because we're connected to the EDA, I'm going to be looking out for the Atlantic Highlands.
Cool.
So, for sure. Great.
Councilman Colasurdo.
Sure. We'll start with Harbor. February was a good month for Harbor. It was up 4% from February of 2023. So although Harbor is down a little bit in terms of revenue for 2024, it's moving in the right direction. So that's all positive. In addition, at the meeting, we authorized the use of the skate park to Lucky Dog Surf Shop, who is going to be doing skateboard classes there for 3 weeks, 3 days a week, from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. We're pretty excited about that opportunity. We think it'll be a nice opportunity to use the skate park, and I think it could be a nice benefit to the community. That's all I have for Harbor. In terms of fire responded to 11 calls in the month of February and 31 calls year to date. Mr. Farragina already responded on the good news of the grant of $75,000 for the air bottles, and it is a good sign that our grant writer is paying for itself, so that's really a great, great get for the fire department. A reminder that check your batteries in your smoke detectors and also your CO2 detectors. And lastly, members for the AHFD are always welcome. An application can be found in Borough Hall. Chamber of Commerce, there was a meeting on March 12th. We actually have the head of the chamber in the crowd today, Tony Certucci. My understanding was that they were talking about the events that they're going to put on for 2024, including the car show, Feast of Atlantic Highlands, and potentially the Oktoberfest if all goes well. So we're excited about that. In addition, they held a happy hour yesterday at Carton Brewery. I attended. It was very well attended. It's really good to see that our chamber has such a vibrant group of individuals that are supporting it. It was really, really a great event. And and then there's the shade tree, which I think is going to be handled by Mr. Murphy. That's all I have.
Councilman Murphy.
Thank you. I will jump over to back to DBW. The street sweeper, DBW has completed the townwide sweeping last week. All sweeping is recorded, tracked, and submitted for the MS4 records. Mr. Councilman Crowley touched on the cardboard compactor or garbage cans. Reminder to please make sure that you have your house number or address on your trash can and recycle cans so that it can be returned to the proper house on those winter days. Sears Landing Road repair work was performed at the Sears Landing Road. Well done job for all of our borough employees. Please always refer to the borough calendar for all DPW instructions. Hopping over to Shade Tree Commission, we had a meeting last night. As many of us are aware, April is Earth Month, and there's a bunch of fun events or ways to celebrate being planned by the Shade Tree Commission, including the sapling giveaway, poster contest by our youth, keynote discussions on keystone species for our ecoregion, and it'll also be the intro or return of the newsletter for the Shade Tree Commission. Now coming out in April. Arbor Day is April 26th. Make sure you get out and celebrate with the tree. And that is it.
Thank you. Councilmember Forbes.
Thank you, Mayor. Hello. I'll be reporting on the green team first. Our green team met on February 27th. I'm happy to report that Dr. Mary Trank was named green team lead during that meeting. And since then, she's been working diligently with the team to get lingering projects back on track. Sorry. Pause for applause. including the olfactory garden, which is slated for the PSENG site, for which we received a grant from PSENG and Sustainable Jersey last year. Thank you to Rob Farragina for helping us identify those funds and Marilyn Chirpin for offering guidance regarding suitable native plants. While we don't yet have a planting schedule, I'm sure we'll have more info soon. One of the new members, Diana Salvador, has volunteered to be the Green Team liaison for the mayor's wellness campaign.
Great.
She has an impressive background in health and wellness and will be a great go-between to make sure the committee is supporting the wellness campaign as needed. As Councilman Murphy mentioned, April is Earth Month, and as always, the Arts Council and other organizations have a robust list of events to celebrate. Here's just a few of the highlights that Morgan Spicer shared with the team. On April 6th, there's a concert with Saul Mill Run String Band and the opening of the Wild Pathways exhibit featuring artwork that celebrates the intersection between environment and our everyday lives. The show is presented by the Arts Council in partnership with Wild About Atlantic Highlands. On April 13th, Clean Ocean Action is doing a beach cleanup. And on April 27th, as Mr. Murphy said, there's a sapling giveaway and also the Best of Film One Festival at Smog Castle Cinemas, which I will definitely be taking in. There's much more to come. The next Green Team meeting is March 27th at 6 p.m. Lastly tonight, I have the Environmental Commission. The Environmental Commission also met on February 27th. I'm happy to report that Larry Goldberg, who is in our audience tonight, was named Waterfront Steward for the Environmental Commission. I did run into him at the Charette last night, and he gave me a thumbs up regarding the condition of the shoreline. There was a robust conversation regarding the stormwater ordinance and how the various permutations could affect residents. A real variety of perspectives, including people from the Green Team and Shade Tree. It's clear the eventual recommendation will be deeply considered. And lastly, with Rob Ferragino's support, the Green Team and the Environmental Commission have the opportunity to send a small coalition of folks to the annual Sustainable Jersey Sustainability Summit, scheduled for Friday, May 3rd at Bellworks, and the next meeting will be March 27th. That is all tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Council President Doherty.
Thank you, Mayor. Finance and Personnel, no updates this evening. Recreation, the Easter egg hunt is scheduled for next Saturday, March 23rd at 10 a.m. in the harbor. Rain date is Sunday, March 24th. A flyer about this event has been posted to the website and also the borough's Facebook page. The townwide yard sale is scheduled for Saturday, May 4th, with a rain date for the following Sunday, May 5th. Registration instructions for those who wish to participate are available on the website. You need to drop a check into the Dropbox or leave one at the counter, and also fill out a sign-up sheet indicating what type of items you'll be selling. But that registration is open. The Recreation Committee's next meeting will be held next Thursday, March 21st at 5:30 p.m. here in Borough Hall. Planning Board met on March 7th. At that meeting, as I previously mentioned, the board unanimously found that Ordinance 7-2024 was consistent with the master plan. And thank you to my colleagues up here for passing those updates this evening, and to Mr. Fisher for your helpful suggestions. The board heard three applications for bulk variances that evening: PB 23-13, 52 East Garfield; PB 2404, 164 East Washington; and PB 24-03, 1 Observatory Place. All three were approved by unanimous votes. The next planning board meeting will be held on Thursday, April 4th, here in this room and on Zoom. Board of Education, I have a brief update about the Atlantic Highlands Elementary School. I encourage everyone here to attend one of the two performances of Into the Woods Junior on Thursday and Friday, March 21st and 22nd. Our fifth and sixth graders have been hard at work, both on stage and in the crew, and it should be a fantastic show. They always are. And one thing I can say about these fifth and sixth grade shows is nearly every member of the class participates, whether it's on stage or behind the scenes, lighting, props, it's incredible. So thank you to the dedication of our terrific vocal music teacher, Mrs. Jennifer Wolf. So please come to that. And I'm sure the mayor is going to speak about this, but I want to thank everyone who attended and participated in last evening's open space charrette at the Senior Center. We had nearly 60 residents and visitors attend to share their thoughts on possible improvements to Helen Marchetti Park on Center Avenue. The third and final charrette will take place on Wednesday, April 17th at 6:30 at the Atlantic Highlands Elementary School. Please note the location. The first two are at the Senior Center. April 17th will be at the elementary school. And that's all I have.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
And I have odds and ends here left over. I was waiting to see if someone else said something. Ms. Spicer, are you planning on talking about Arts Council stuff? Okay, so I will take that off my list. Thank you. Saturday the 16th, there is a comedy show at the Smog Castle Cinemas. I believe there's a few tickets left. It's a benefit for Henry Hudson. There are tickets left. They're $40. You can buy them online. You can buy them at the theater, but buy them online so they know who's coming and that you're not shut out. There's also, I'm trying to remember, no, it was after the last meeting. So I had the pleasure of attending A Father's Promise at the theater, which was a benefit both for Smod Castle, Artists in Action, and Where Angels Play. It was a really beautiful, well, I was at an event on Friday and Saturday for that, and it's a beautiful movie if you haven't seen it. It was my husband's birthday, so I know I told you we were going to go see it. We didn't watch it that night because it's also very sad. So, but it's very inspirational, and there's a lot of big stars in it, so it's worth your time. Open space, I think you covered it. There's some good options. I think that, you know, this is concepts that people are interested in happening, and then we'll actually put, you know, make a plan and decide for Center Avenue Park how we're going to fund any kind of potential plan, you know, anything that we plan for it. There's going to have to be a real design, not just, you know, like a concept plan. But I'm really hopeful. I think people were very energetic. Our planner said that this was the, what was the word he used?
Impassioned,
liveliest. Yeah. That was the gist of it. But thank you to everyone who came. And I know that the only council people that weren't there were in other places that they had to be. So there was nobody missing because they didn't have a conflict. So I think that was great turnout.
Mayor, if I could just add one thing to that. One observation that I had last night, which I thought about a lot today, is, again, we had nearly 60 people there. And I don't know of another official borough meeting where we've had 60 attendees who were there for a positive reason. They were contributing. And it was really, it was something that we had about 35, I think, 35 or 40 at the first one, so we had a lot more attendees. And it's really the process. I mean, our development planner, Fran Reiner, he's incredible. I mean, the way he ran this meeting and really, like, got people to contribute and, you know, to speak up and offer their ideas, I think was really inspirational. So
yeah, we've had universally positive feedback from folks. And there were different people at this one, so really we've had probably about 80, 85 people that have participated in person at these events, and over 400 responses to the survey, so it's great. Not so great, there was a fire at the Yacht Club 10 days ago, but I just wanted to read a note that I got from the Commodore. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I think it's important to know how quickly and smartly the response was. So Lori, I just wanted to reach out to you and thank you for showing your support the night of the incident and sending out the well-worded blast on social media. Communication is important. I also want to personally thank the first responders for their swift and very judicious actions in pinpointing the issue and mitigating it with very little collateral damage to the building and equipment. In addition, Lou was great in his response and follow-up with us, ensuring appropriate services were restored and getting us permit paperwork to get the ball rolling on restoration. Kudos to the whole team. Thank you. And then he gives some a progress report, but it looks like they're planning to turn it around very quickly. I was there after the charrette for a quick cheers to the folks who had participated, and I went into the kitchen. I had been there the night of, and so I saw how much progress they've made, and spoken to the Harbor Commission chair, and we're confident that they'll be fully operational as soon as possible, and are doing everything by the book with permits in place.
Does the club remain open?
The club remains open for social activities, but there's not food.
No food.
Service. Galley service. Galley. Just one step further on the reflective belts. I just want to give credit to Sergeant Gurian for bringing that idea to the chief, because I think it's awesome when our police department members are stepping up and coming with new ideas to the chief. That's what he's all about. So kudos to Sergeant Gurian on that. There's a soft opening for Badlands, which is the new store on First Avenue. I was in there today and I met the owner, DJ, and they've got cool stuff in there. I don't know if I can pull it off, but I'm going to try. But like every, like there's I call them sneakers, some call them tennis shoes, there's lots of cool hats, there's some Dickies, Atlantic Highlands Badlands shirts, so I'm going to see how I can style myself there. But they are having their soft opening this weekend, and we'll have a ribbon cutting in the future. And then finally from me, I was invited to Drum Thwacket tonight to celebrate Women's History Month, so, but I would rather be with you, so here I am. But on May 24th, our PBA ball is happening again this year, and one of the things that Janet Grasso, who's been doing a great job in helping to organize, along with former Mayor Gluckstein, She's had block captains, so people who live on a particular street in town, or maybe like 10 Ocean Boulevard. I'm not looking at anybody in particular, but I see at least two of you over here. To talk to your neighbors and see if they'd be willing to go in together to put together packages for the auction that they have. So Janet Grasso, you can get her contact information from me, but we're really looking to support the PBA this year. Remind me the beneficiary, Chief, do you remember? It is the first day, Scott, that's right. I didn't want to be wrong. But that's always a fun night, and so I hope you buy your tickets, and you can buy them from any member of the police department, and inspire your neighbors to join you. We have communications that you can bring to your neighbors' houses and leave them on their doors. I think that's it. So now, and I know tomorrow is the Ides of March, so I'm fully aware. It's at the bottom of my page here, but I'm going to open public comment. So members of the public who would like to make a comment may raise your hand here in the courtroom, and once recognized, please come to the front of the room, state your name and address. If a member of the public is joining via Zoom, please raise your virtual hand, and once recognized, state your name and address. Mrs. Clark?
The council encourages public participation and requests that all comments be addressed to the mayor. All comments should refer to topics relevant to the powers and duties of the Atlantic Highlands Borough Government. Speakers are requested to maintain proper decorum at all times during the meeting. Thank you.
Any hands?
Yes, we have one hand raised.
Okay. Mrs. Fratton, please state your name and address for the record. Is she coming over? Mm-hmm. Maybe she wants to be a captain for 10 Ocean.
The action to promote the panelists was declined, however, your hand is raised. Ms. Fratton, I'll try one more time where you could just lower your hand if you're not interested.
Is there anyone in the courtroom that, in the council chamber? Mr. Leinsdorf, come on up and we'll keep trying with Mrs. Fratton.
I want to reiterate because the borough didn't ask to be excused from the regionalization court case.
Same answer as last week when last meeting when Ms. Schaefer answered that question.
She did.
She did.
So we can keep going with that.
We are a party to the suit.
Yeah. I don't know why.
We didn't name ourselves. That's a theme.
I'm going to reiterate about the sidewalks. I just want to tell you that you're completely independent. It's going to make me so happy that I keep pushing on this. So I'm continuing to push. We got someone hit by a car on a scooter. These are warnings across the bow. We should be forcing people to walk with cars.
I appreciate that, and I will tell you that we had response from DOT. We're probably actually delayed on that because my grandmother's passing, because I remember I was in the car talking to them when I was leaving the hospice, so.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I went to the Monmouth County transportation planning thing on Monday, whatever that was. And they said reaching out to all the different actors, county, is more effective coming from you than coming from me, because you're elected officials. And now I'm referring to the sidewalks along state highways going to bus stops. There are bus stops. There are no sidewalks going to the bus stop. You have to cross streets, and you have buttons for lights that are not operational with no indication that they don't do anything for the length of the lights. So all these things that are really in the state that's under their control, it would help the borough council and the minister and everyone kept pushing on them to say, we need sidewalks along the shopping center, we need sidewalks going to the bus stop, and stuff like that.
Thank you. Please come forward. I just texted her as well. Thank you.
I'll lower Ms. Broughton's hand.
Okay.
I hope
you're in good health.
Re-raise
gently.
Mrs. Broughton. Mr. Fisher, come on up.
I think I heard a few months back that there was going to be a quarterly borrowing letter that's going out. The Shade Tree one? The
second one? Yes.
Okay. When is that going to start?
It should start in the next month. There's okay. been complications to getting things happening in general.
I don't want that. EMS news is always great. I mean, rebuilding the town's EMS, you know, bouncing back from low membership and low response is great. But we never hear anything about the Dayton Human Services, how many calls they're responding to. I guess they're just Monday to Friday daytime. And if we're considering not needing them.
Yes, that's, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's a $90,000 cost. I think this is
we do need them.
So I do have that data.
Yeah.
They supply me with that data. So I'd be more than happy if you want the next council meeting, I can provide that data.
Okay.
And I can give a synopsis report of that data in terms of how many calls they're providing on a monthly basis and what have you.
And is there consideration for not needing them anymore?
So we have informed the first aid squad that when they feel that we no longer need Hackensack Meridian to let us know. I believe the clause in the contract allows us to inform them for 90 days ahead, and we'll be happy to cease that relationship with Hackensack Meridian when and only when the first aid squad approaches us formally and provides us notification that they are up to speed with personnel and that they feel that they can provide a full staff service, and they haven't done so yet, but they've been informed of that.
Okay. In addition to the paperless planning board, I would also like to suggest that great form that you made become a populatable PDF so that people don't have to fill it in by hand. They can actually sit in their computer and send it to the borough. Imagine.
This is, it's magic. It's magic, Mark. But,
the last thing is, when we have an executive session tonight, this, one of the items is, property acquisition. Which property is that for?
Property.
So that is for the Mother Teresa property. Yeah, and no formal action will be taken.
That was my last.
Anyone else in the room? Ms. Spicer.
I also had a question Mark Fisher asked about the email blast. I was hoping we could get that up and running for May, for Normal May, just because I feel like a lot of people are aware of Normal May and the information last year on that. I know I got a very angry letter from the code enforcer and also my homeowners association about not having to go on my lawn last year in Normal May. So maybe if it is ready by the end of April, we just need to let folks know about Normal Day, just because it's true thing we're doing with more know that better.
The first one we're gonna do we're gonna have to do a mailing, a hard mailing. It will be, but then people can opt out or opt in to only getting it electronically, but just from an inclusivity perspective and
and we don't have a high runner anymore, so we can't even, like,
yes.
All right, so, Earth Month for the Arts Council. Thank you so much, Adam, for talking about Earth Month. There's a couple more dates I just want to mention. On April 5th, Elaine Ogidio will be hosting a meditation. She did it last year, and really enjoyed it. So that's our first kickoff for April 5th. As mentioned, the concert on April 6th and the opening. This Earth Month is really exciting because it's last year we had a lot of moving parts, and this year we have even more. Shade Tree Commission, the Environmental Commission, and even though we're not doing specific events with open space, we will be advertising the final charrette as part of our Earth calendar. And also the Chamber of Commerce is involved this year as well. So it's really like a broad town that should be, exciting for everybody. There's also on the 28th, we're going to be showing a film by Doug Talman, so if anyone's interested. And on March 14th, Marilyn Sherman will be giving a talk about the Earth. So if everyone knows Marilyn, now on to less optimistic things. I hate it, I'm doing it. I hate the pesticides when I go in the borough. Every time I walk by, I just breaks my heart. And last night at the open space shred, everyone had different opinions, and I don't know if everyone wanted to do something else, but I felt like the cookie suggestion message that I was hearing from everybody was we want to be natural, we want to preserve the trees, and it seems like genuinely the town really cares about our physical environment, and I feel like this building is the manifestation of the town, and I just don't think that the way that it looks, the grass and the pesticides represents what the people in the town want, and I just hope that we can transition away from pesticides.
You know, I left my house in a hurry without my calendar, but it's Sunday, August, is it the 13th, I think? It's not on the calendar, unfortunately, so town calendar, but I think it's Sunday, August 13th. 11th?
That's what I
have. And then what's the Sunday after that? That's correct, then. You've got it. That I remembered. I guess I should have just counted backwards. Yeah. The rain date would be the 18th. So the actual date is the 11th, Sunday. Yeah. And, Ms. Spicer, since you mentioned email blast, I wanted to mention that if you go on to the, fairly new-ish redesigned AHNJ.com, you can opt in to get agendas mailed to you. And what started happening fairly recently is planning board, those get pushed to anybody that opts in. So if you want to know what's going on in planning board, you can do that. I'm pretty sure it's active with mayor and council, but I don't think we've had many things that have changed on the agenda, but I'll talk to Zulu about that.
Does the deal look like Nomo Bay right on the front of
it? No, it's just unless it's part of the agenda. The idea is just so that people can stay, you can opt in, and if you want to know what's going on at planning board or mayor and council, you'll get that. Yeah, there's a front page landing, a splash page, and then there are buttons on there for recreation and events and things like that, and you could go find that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anyone else here? Mr. Barbado?
Paul Barbado, 22 Laurie, aka, I'm not to say it, but I'm adding visual rules of local rules. It's going to be short. I've been over the years, sent numerous emails back and forth. I would like, if it's possible, one of the emails that I sent back on February 13th, I'm going again to see if I could look for it. I would like a response on the letterhead of the Atlantic Islands. I think to be in contact with the DCA, and they need some information. And I'd like something from the response that rather than
the DCA is requesting information from the borough?
Well, I want to provide it to them.
So the DCA could request that directly to the borough, the borough.
I'd like a copy of the office.
If the DCA requests something from the borough and it's affecting your residence or it relates to you, then you'll get a copy of it.
Okay, but I would like I would like a copy for myself. But even if DCA, I would like a copy of it also.
Copy of what?
A response from my email dated February.
So that has nothing to do with the DCA. That has to do with your request.
My request, yes. Help also. And I'm going to be, I've been in contact with the Moss County, a couple of agencies.
So if one of the
great stuff.
If one of the county agencies would like information from Atlantic Islands, you would be given a copy if there was an official communication from the borough to one of the agencies.
All right, now, let's not say I've contacted them. I would like on a letter copy of your response.
If you have a request, you can send it by email to Mr. Perugina.
Okay.
Thank you.
And the other thing, if Josh gets these sidewalks, I think we'll put us on. Okay.
Not sure which list you're referring to.
The sidewalks. He's talking about sidewalks.
I don't know what list you're referring to.
No,
that would
I know. He's not, I'm just being facetious. Okay? Because, you know, lift. Okay? But we could use the sidewalk.
Anybody else? Mr. Dougherty, any levity?
There's a little bit of levity. Yes. Would like to make a motion before we enter into executive session in song.
Okay.
So
I'm here for
in
it.
In song. Okay, so St. Patrick's Day is Sunday. So since we'll be in executive session, many of our members of the public won't be here when we return. So just very briefly. Oh, all the money that e'er I spent, I spent it in good company, and all the harm that e'er I done, alas, it was to none but me. And all I done for want of wit, to memory now I can't recall. So fill to me the parting glass. Good night and joy be with you all. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone.
So I'm going to take that as a motion to go into executive session, having beautifully said so to our friend.
I will make that motion.
There you go.
Can you second it at least?
Forms will second.
Okay.
There you go.
No formal action will be taken. All in favor going to an executive session?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Everybody have a lovely evening. There are bagpipers at Carton. You're on. May I have a motion and a second to come out of executive session?
Forbes motions.
Dougherty second.
All in favor?
Aye.
May I have a motion to adjourn?
Crowns.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
Good night.